What is up? It's Tuesday night, time for another Inside the Game. Welcome to episode 57, today on October 23rd, 2012. As always, our guests, hello, we've got Pain User, EG Idra, and EG In Control. Gentlemen, how are you?
Great.
Excellent.
Super.
Had a great week. Spent a lot of time in San Francisco. It was rainy, but...
I like that. Great. I think Greg said excellent.
Yep.
I think In Control said super.
Thanks for asking.
That's going to set the tone for the entire night right there.
Excellent, Smithers.
God, so much has happened in a week, guys. We almost canceled the show last week. When Destiny wrote his blog and the sky began following, we had an emergency meeting, and we said, guys, obviously the fucking walls are crumbling around us. Like, look, we're dodging debris. It's like a fucking disaster movie, you know, as they're taking off on an airplane as the runway is getting, you know, eaten into the earth. And we decided to keep on it. And for that, I just like to really, I mean, tonight's a special episode, episode 57, so I'm celebrating with the fucking biggest can of Monster known to man. This is an M80, so it's Monster.
Wait, they've been giving us the small cans?
This can, I'm sorry I don't have my cam on for you guys, but this cam, this thing is fucking, like, look at this thing. This microphone's huge, and this thing is bigger than the mic. There you go.
That's what Bryce used to drink,
there,
man.
There you go.
He drank like three of those a night.
Shit's out of control.
What's it taste like? What's the M80 flavor?
It's juice, actually, which makes it really good.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Word. Guys, we got plenty to talk about. Just
Indeed.
Kidding. We never thought about canceling the show. Let's just kind of just jump right into it. We are going to talk a little bit about some of the shit that happened last week, but I don't know that we're going to necessarily kick off with that. Are you guys cool with that?
Whatever you want, man.
Down for whatever, man.
All right, so let's actually start with OSL, since, of course, GSL Finals, which we're going to talk a little bit about that. But alongside GSL, we also have OSL running, the other Korean league, if you will. And recently, the third-place match took place with the OSL Finals happening this Saturday, where, of course, Rain, the Pro League Rain, will be taking on DRG. But did you guys catch the third-place match at all? Anyone happen to catch that one?
Nope.
Didn't catch it.
Yeah, I didn't either.
Watching OSL.
I didn't either, to be honest with you. I mean, I'm going to watch the finals because I feel like...
Likewise.
You know...
It'll just be great games.
It should be good games, right?
Absolutely.
MC came down... came back to win it 4-3 to beat last.
Good
in the
Lord.
Third place match. So MC continuing his struggle there. And I don't know... I'd be curious if, like, chat saw it at all, but... you know, has their production been improving throughout the year? Like, I've been watching some VODs here and there, and I still kind of chuckle every time I see it go from, like, 4x3 into, like, the 16x9 screen. And, you know, it still seems like they're a little behind. But, like, honestly, the OSL production behind it, the Korean production, is still really great.
Well, they basically just took the show they've been doing for the last years and years and years and improving upon for all that time, and then they just put a new game into it. So anything that's not technology-based, like the broadcasts, like the resolution issues, they have way more experience with that than pretty much anyone else who's doing it. So that part is always fantastic.
I got to tell you guys a kind of funny story. So, you know, the Koreans, as you kind of said, Idra, as far as their production, like, they had... at one point, three dedicated gaming channels. So there was, like, this constant, like, I'm going to be better than you, and now we're going to incorporate, like, map, you know, flybys and all sorts of different stuff. And, I mean, I know you guys don't necessarily care about this, but I think it's, like, pertinent because it was on GameNet, I believe, who did the League of Legends broadcast for the finals, and we watched some of that one, and, like, it was so obvious that these guys had been doing it for, like, 10 years. I mean, their map overlays, how they were actually, like, showing positions on the map itself, like, it was just one of those moments where it's like, fuck, we still have so much to learn from the Koreans and like how to present a game, because god damn it, they actually do it really, really great.
They actually pioneered for me, and something we've talked a lot about that blows me away that's still not used very much is when something dramatic happens in-game, they actually go to the players and zoom in on them, like their face.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
And it doesn't always produce the best results, but the few times you've ever seen a player go like, oh my god, it makes history. Like, it instantly makes history. And no other league does that. They just have, like, MLG has the tank cam, and then IPL had the, like, shaky hand cam in the really nice booth, which was cool, but didn't have that effect.
I totally agree with you on that, because, like, all the old OSL, MSL VODs, like, it's so awesome when they capture that moment where, like, an entire army gets flanked and crushed, and you just capture that little two-second window right there.
And it's a total cheese zoom, too. Like, it's, like, it's the cheesiest fucking thing ever.
It's like the Jeff like, webcam zoom to the face every time.
It's got that little bit of shake, and then that, like, dramatic. You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me of, like, the dramatic, what was that? The hedgehog, chipmunk, whatever.
Gopher.
The gopher, you know, whatever.
How did you get a dog?
Yeah, exactly. It was like that dramatic zoom. So anyway, the finals are this weekend. Rain, we were kind of chatting about it right before things got started. But Rain versus DRG. Like, DRG's still seeing success, but I think he's not wowing people like he initially did, you know, during a lot of his really early victories. But it seemed like across the host board, like, there was kind of some mixed reactions on whether or not you guys thought Rain could do it. What do you guys think? Who wants to throw it out there? I think, Taylor, you were saying you thought he might be able to. Idra, I think you were kind of...
I think he definitely can. I think he's shown that he can in the GSL already. I mean, he's a top caliber, if not the best Protoss out there right now. You know, the question is how is he gonna match DRG's ZVP? And I wouldn't say ZVP is Rain's strength. I think his PvP is utterly ridiculous, and his verse Terran is also very strong, but it's going to be some great games. There's no doubt about it. And I certainly think he's capable of taking it. I mean, he's proven that, I think. I don't think it's even a question.
Certainly capable of winning it, but his PvZ is his least proven matchup.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if he had even played any televised PvZs. I don't know if he has yet, actually, given that he got knocked out by MVP.
He did play... he did, I mean, in OSL, DRG was in his group, but it was best of one. I think we kind of talked about that a little bit, where it's kind of like, well, that doesn't mean shit.
Yeah, and DRG, you're right, he's not as dominant as he used to be. It's because his biggest strength is really his mechanics, and a lot of people have caught up with that. Like, if you look at his gameplay, his ZVT is still very, very Mutaling Baneling heavy, whereas most Zergs have switched over to more Infestor base plate. Like, he's not a strategical revolutionary, except for the fact that he can do things that other people couldn't because his mechanics were better, so he kind of pioneered things in that way. But he's not going to, like, keep wowing you. And so unless his mechanics somehow get way, way better again, he's not going to really have the advantage he used to. So he's still very good, but he's not, like, S-class Zerg anymore. Like, not apart from everyone else.
What do you think Rain's biggest strengths are? Mechanics over... you know, in-depth strategical play as well?
I don't know. He's very smart. His decision-making is good. Everything about him is pretty good. But since he hasn't played many Zergs, I haven't really studied his play a lot.
Okay. I mean, I watched... actually stayed up and watched Dongregu play Genius. And, of course, that's that up-and-down format where it's best of ones again, but they play, like, five of them.
Right.
And he did Meadling Baneling again, and he won with it in convincing fashion. But... I think the interesting thing for me about Meadling Baneling, specifically with Rain, is that I think it's very different from the rest of the styles that Zergs utilize, so Rain's practice for it could be very specific for Meadling Baneling, but then that also gives the advantage to Dongregu, because it's not like he only does Meadling Baneling, right? That's just what he predominantly does.
Uh-huh.
So it's like a weird... Obviously, Rain. It's hard to talk about Rain like he's this newbie to StarCraft 2, because it's clearly not the case. These guys have been 12 hours a day for months on end, so it's hard to call him that anymore. But I guess what I would just say is that I think Dongregu has the severe advantage because he's been doing this for a lot longer and identifies situations a lot faster than Rain. But then also, he's the one of the two of them that plays a weird style, which means he can fall back on standard and catch him off guard with solid safe play.
Yeah. I think Rain's... in response to your question, Wade, about his strength, I definitely think, in my eyes, it's his positioning a lot of the time. I mean, he's just, like Greg said, he's just clean across the board. I mean, he's got excellent macro, excellent micro decision making. But the thing that stands out to me is he's almost never caught out of position. His army is generally where it needs to be. There's very few moments where, you know, a drop slips past him unnoticed or he's just not ready for something. Like, he covers his bases really well as a Protoss player, and I think that's something that Protoss players absolutely need because they're so immobile, and you have to be able to cover all your bases. So, you know, that said, DRG, he's fast, he's furious, he's got really, really, really good macro, and he's going to try and exploit everywhere he can, possibly with some muta play, quick roaches. I mean, you never really know what he's going to throw at you. I think it's going to be more about how Rain can adapt to his style and defend it.
You know what's sad, Wheat, is that actually, above all, my biggest hope for this final is that it's good games. PvZ lately has been pretty boring, and it's not necessarily that Zerg just wins, and that's my complaint. It's that the way either players win, it's either like a 2 or 3 base all-in from the Protoss that falls on its face or is successful outright, like not even close, or it goes to super mega late game, and there's like various interpretations of what the Protoss should do, but no one seems to agree on anything, so the Protoss is kind of, they die there too. PvZ's been one of the most boring, if not the most boring matchup in StarCraft 2 lately.
I think everyone would agree. Yeah, I actually do agree.
Admittedly, there was that period of time where, you know, the Zerg was kind of like steamrolling, and so watching the Protoss sort of figure this out. I'm talking about like Max Roach styles and what we saw. I think that there was some like interest in the matchup, myself included. But I mean, I agree because the dynamics aren't changing that much in the matchup.
The one bright side is that DRG doesn't really play the super boring style from the Zerg side. We could still just see like Immortal all in and win or lose in 10 minutes every game. We could still see that. But if DRG is the one taking charge, he tends to play very aggressive just because he likes to make mutas. He doesn't like to sit behind Spinecrawlers and go Broodlord. Like, he will do that if he has to, but he is not the kind of Zerg where you're guaranteed to have hour-long turtle fests every game.
Right.
And I really like that as a spectator.
Thank God.
So, I mean, Greg, even as a Zerg player, is like,
doesn't, I despise it.
Doesn't enjoy it.
So,
but it works. It's the best. But
it's really strong. It's just terrible.
The other really interesting thing about this is that, like, just for effect, I'm gonna show the Liquipedia page on this particular. This is for, of course, the OSL going on right now. But, you know, it's so easily forgotten that this is the first OSL for StarCraft II. And if you look at the legacy, which is like, holy shit, from 1999 all the way up to 2012, I mean, the number of events here, I think you could just sit there, you see that there's a shitload. And some of these are like legendary events, you know, like we still reference some of the videos of the finals, like, look at this shit, man, like, you know.
And that outdoor audience, I don't know what year that was. That one gets used everywhere.
Right. Like the one that was the same weekend as the All-Star game, and it kicked the All-Star baseball game, and it kicked, you know, all those stories behind it. But now we have the first StarCraft II one. Is anyone expecting, like, more out of the finals? Like, you know, oftentimes leading up to the finals, it would be like stage match, stage match, stage match, and then the finals would be like the big fucking blowout of everything.
Yeah.
Do you guys expect a big, like, that big blowout for this?
Well, I don't think so. Not only, well, you've got to also think about look what the GSL just did. They absolutely sold out that entire auditorium. So they have a pretty big shoes.
Yeah, but in comparison to OSL events I've seen, that was like nothing.
Yeah, I'm saying like the bar has been set relatively high as far as StarCraft II is concerned by GSL. They absolutely blew it out of the water. So they definitely have a huge expectation there. And then they have the past expectation of what we're discussing right now, some of those 100,000 live audience games. So it'll be really interesting to see. And I think it'll also kind of answer some of those questions about just how much of the Korean population is actually really interested in making the transition over to StarCraft II and adopting that as their spectator game of choice.
I'm not really sure how much of it is just our perception, because OSL seems pretty inaccessible to foreigners. Like, they're online, their broadcasting isn't particularly high quality.
Yeah.
And it's difficult, or at least it was difficult. They might have fixed it, but I already gave up. It's pretty difficult to watch the VODs and whatnot. It's just not easy to view. And the games were pretty shitty at first because the Kessler players were still uncomfortable. So maybe we're just viewing it as a lot smaller than it is, but OSL doesn't feel like a big thing. It doesn't feel like something that people make a big deal out of. And it's just hard to see it going from that to being a massive spectator, like, spectacular finals. I don't see it happening.
Yeah.
Which is weird. It's because I grew up seeing it in a completely different way.
Well, that's why I was asking, because, you know, I mean, especially with the connections to Brood Warrior and the fact that you guys have probably watched quite a few of these, you know, that was the one thing that kind of rang out to me, like, man, is it going to just kind of be like that, you know, you expect a giant explosion and it's more like a balloon that's just slowly letting its air out, and it's just like...
By the gigantic StarCraft 1 OSL standards, I think it'll definitely disappoint.
Yeah, I would tend
to agree. I just don't think, like, I guess going into this, I don't even consider that in the same realm. It's weird to me that, like, randomly you'd be like, well, that's what OSL did way back when this game was bringing the country out of a recession. It was considered, like, a challenging national pastime. But now, when there's multiple games that people enjoy playing, like LoL and StarCraft 2, it should equalize that scenario again. I don't think of that that way. I think of it as, like, if they have 10,000 plus people in the audience, that's awesome. And that's not me lowering my expectations. I feel like that's me being a realist. Like, StarCraft 2 is not what Brood War was in Korea. So it would be really weird to look at that and be like, anything less is a failure or the sign of end of days. I just don't agree with that
and
at all.
This might be a good transition, because did you guys notice how many foreigners were in the GSL finals audience?
That can be deceptive. Right. They go
totally white.
They try very hard to make it seem very international and diverse, though. So,
and
like, if there's a white guy there, the camera gets on them.
Yeah,
but I agree.
I mean, there were a fair bit.
It seemed like there was a lot of white dudes there, for real.
There were a fair bit, yeah.
Maybe you're right, Greg. I mean, production tricks like that are key. You know, you shoot an auditorium a certain way to look like it has the most people. You shoot a certain way to make sure that something looks more packed than maybe it actually is. So,
yeah, but you got to find a middle ground, right? I mean, they're using production
always
techniques.
Had pretty good form.
I was happy with the audience. You know what?
Yeah.
That's when I looked at that, I wasn't looking like – I didn't break out my how many white people do we have where they sit.
I got the abacus out.
Your pocket like white people 20, abacus. 000,
but there was once 100,000. So in my head, by the – where did those 80,000 other people go? Clearly to LOL. Like that kind of weird math, I don't agree with. I just like that they put on a good show. They had – like, imagine that place, by the way, with empty seats everywhere. Okay, that's depressing. No, they filled up the place. It looked great.
And we've seen events like that before. We've seen even GSL finals where it's like half empty seats and it looks awful. So this was pretty acceptable by those standards.
Yep.
Definitely.
All right, let's talk about GSL finals. Took place this weekend as well. And I got to be honest with you guys. This is one of these that I was totally – it started a little bit earlier this time around. I was totally expecting that it was going to be like I would only be up for another 2 hours, but lo and behold, we got a 7-game series out of it, some pretty fucking good games. And, I mean, maybe we talk a little bit about the final or the last game, but did you guys catch this one?
Yes.
I watched every game, as well as Greg.
So, yeah, I mean, in terms of GSL finals, we've had some real stinkers. Where do you guys feel like this ranked up there in the hierarchy of good to bad?
I thought it was really good.
Yeah, I think it was pretty up there just because there were 7 competitive games and like really good players. There was a good storyline going into it that you could like get involved in. I thought it was pretty entertaining. The games themselves, I guess we'll talk about that a bit, but I wasn't so impressed.
Do you want to talk about the games? No?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I the finals was what I expected to see. It looked great. The auditorium was good. Tastosis was on point. You know, I love that they're paying more attention to like translating some of the things that arguably they used to just do like a loose translation of, and it wasn't that good. The downtime was relatively minimal, which I think they're getting better at. You know, I remember some early GSLs where I swear to God, we waited like 20 minutes in between some matches and it didn't feel like that at all. So, I mean, I felt like they lived up to their standard of GSL. So with that, Yeah, let's talk about the game. So who wants to get out? Greg, you said that you weren't that impressed. Do you want to kind of kick off the discussion?
Yeah, MVP kind of pissed me off. He was the person, along with Nyokin, which no one actually knows, who kind of figured out how mech is supposed to be played. Like, he was involving Banshees a lot more. He realized that Vikings don't drop drops. You just need the extra DPS from the Banshees. Figured out the proper ratio of, like, Thors to tanks to Ravens to Vikings late game. Importance of upgrades, expansion timings, planetaries, having a bunch of orbitals and ditching all your SVs. He figured out and was, like, one of the first people to do all these super important things. And then he was just like, fuck it, let's make tanks. And then he lost to Broodlords. Like, I'm pretty sure what happened is a lot of Korean Zergs, after they lose the initial Broodlord army, they go back and remax on Roachling and Fester and start trying to spread the map out. And I guess he figured Life would do that, or he knew that that was how Life liked to play against mech. But instead, in a lot of the games, Life just kept pounding on the Broodlords, and then he tried to fight it with tanks and Vikings, which doesn't work, because Corruptors just flat out beat Vikings if you don't have Thors and Hunter Seeker missile involved. So yeah. I was really kind of disappointed, because MVP is capable so much better, and like, he's done it in the past. He knows how to play mech. I wish he had done it better.
One thing that I noticed from MVP that I really, really liked was how several games he was opening, Command Center first or one rack CC, and then he would transition into this double factory, one with a tech lab, one with a reactor, pump a ton of Hellions out and get quick blue flame, because Life is just one of those players that you hardly ever even see drop a Roach Warren. I mean, he just rarely ever does it in the early and mid game. So I think MVP was really capitalizing on the fact that he has a handful of speedlings out, a couple queens, he'll put down a spine, maybe Sim City a little bit. But in almost every game, MVP was able to get in with his Hellions, do quite a bit of damage. We saw a few games with 20-plus drone kills early on, and his Hellion run-bys were just excellent. Now, time and time again, it seemed like after those Hellion run-bys, and, you know, once that pack of Hellions is finished off and the Zerg is comfortable and has breathing room, it seemed like the damage from those was not nearly as much as you would think. Because,
well, yeah, in game one, he lost an enormous amount of drones and still came back to take it.
Exactly, and that's a perfect example. Game one, he did like 3 or 4 run-bys, killed 24 drones, something like that. But once the pack of Hellions is dead and there's no follow-up pressure, it just takes all the stress off the Zerg's back, and he can just drone for days, take a fourth. He knows that you're going mech and that there's no impending attack anytime soon. And I feel like MVP also tried to really slow it down from there, especially in the first game as an example on Cloud Kingdom. You know, he dropped 2 extra command centers just for planetary fortresses to choke off the ramp near his natural, and then to also choke off the third. And, you know, that's something you generally do when you know you're going to be on the defensive and you know you're going to be playing a defensive game. But I feel like he could have been way more aggressive after some of those openers where he did a ton of damage to the drone line and he didn't capitalize.
A lot of the credit for that actually goes to Life, because you could see MVP trying to do timing attacks. I know on Entombed he did one. That's generally the way mech is played. Just like, you do a timing attack to take out the fourth and the fifth before Broodlords come out if they go Broodlords too fast. And you can see MVP trying to do that in a lot of circumstances, and even the fact they put down planetaries. As in part, just because Life is such a counterattack heavy player, it's just a stylistic thing. It's not actually that big of an investment, depending on the timing window. Like, when you kill 22 drones, you can afford to do that and still attack. But what was really, really nice that Life was doing in most of the games was he would get like 10 infestors out, and he would sit just out of range of tanks, and if the tanks were sieged, he would throw in infested Terrans and use the tank splash damage to get a lot of DPS out of that. And if they weren't sieged, then he would just go in and fungal the mech and do a bunch of damage, force him to repair, keep his army in the yellow. And so he was buying himself a lot of times with those tactics, and particularly creep spread as well.
Yeah.
Cloud Kingdom game, he had great creep spread right up.
Really,
like, there was nowhere MVP could go without going on to creep and losing a lot more time. So Life really kind of created, took away MVP's timings in a lot of those circumstances.
I'm reading through some of the chat comments, and I do agree with a couple of people in here who are saying it really felt like MVP, like it was his finals to win. Like, he had a fucking trophy with his name already on it. All he had to do was win that one game. And, you know, I go back to what you were talking about, Greg, which was like this weird, almost like leaving everyone flabbergasted that why would he just you know, keep pumping the tanks, and there's this sort of struggle that happened with him and whatever he, you know, the decisions that he decided to make. Do you feel like he did throw it away in those games? I mean, Greg, you... Or Jeff, yeah. Who
I guess yeah. My opinion, and Greg obviously can go into greater detail about this, but I think that would be a severe misuse. I mean, it would just be a really bad way to look at that series, because to be honest, didn't Life win the first two games pretty handily?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it takes the heart, and it takes the app. I mean, I'll tell you what, if MVP hasn't been to the finals of like 9 tournaments, most people in that situation piss down their legs in game 3 and 4, and it's a 4-0,
right,
another GSL rounding victory. But MVP, every time they cut to his face when he was down 0-2, it was like this.
Yeah.
He was just like... But then, when shit really hit the fan, he was like... And then he just kind of won 3 games in a row. And everyone did the exact opposite from that situation. They're like, well, here comes MVP. Oh, my God. Mm-hmm. But then Life, the young little whippersnapper, he rallies as well. And I think that comes from what to me is one of the cooler concepts in StarCraft II, which is like young people do really well at this game because they don't give a shit. They're actually not that terrified. They know they have, like, They know they have everything in front of them, but they don't even know that. Like, he was thinking about Hello Kitty. He was thinking about, like, some
waking
girl
up for
he
high
saw.
School the next morning.
Right.
Exactly. He saw some, like, music video, like, playing on repeat in his head the whole time. He's just playing StarCraft really well. So it was, like, a combination of, like, the veteran who's been there since Brood War, not necessarily in the championships in Brood War, but still has been on stage matches and big matches. Uh-huh. He's pulling through because he's got the mental tenacity to do that, but he's going up against this little robot that doesn't give a shit, that literally has rainbows and Hello Kitty bouncing around his head while he played StarCraft II at, like, the highest level. He's the best Zerg or one of the best Zergs right now.
Yeah.
And I thought that was cool. So I don't think it's... I mean, I agree with Greg on everything. Like, it was really hard to watch mass tanks constantly try to roll over on their backs and shoot up at the Broodlords because they just couldn't fucking do it. That was really frustrating to watch. But for me, what was really cool was seeing, like, the players as people and what they did to get to where they were.
Yeah, everything except for the gameplay was absolutely brilliant. Like, a series like that is not really supposed to happen. Like, MVP, he's just supposed to win. And then Life, he's up 2-0, he's just supposed to win. And then he loses 3 in a row and he comes back. It was a great series in terms of that. And even within the game, like, I think to say MVP threw it is to take away credit from Life. Like, Life played really, really well. And he did all the right things. Like, he made the situations for himself. But, yeah, like, MVP, just losing the first two games the same way and then keeping going with that style was very depressing. And also then his timing push, timing attack, timing donking off of units on Daybreak in the last game. Like, that was his game to lose, absolutely. And he threw it away. That was pretty disappointing end.
Yeah, you know, really, MVP, like you said, he had been working out all of the kinks in mech. I mean, he'd been trying to use it in competitive play for so long in the GSL, and we saw time and time again, you know, he would lose a match here, lose a match there, but then he would tighten it up and he would change the timings and figure out, you know, exactly when he could take his third safely, when he needed to transition into Thor so that early Mutalisks, so he wasn't vulnerable to an early Mutalisk attack. So, and I really feel like he didn't play his tightest mech that I've seen him play. And Life, not to take any credit away from him, because he certainly was able to exploit it, but you know, MVP kept trying to push the mech issue on in every game almost. And I know people have discussed, you know, the injuries. It's a lot easier of a style for him to play. It's something that he's been working on a lot lately. But I think a tempo switch from MVP at any point, maybe back into bio or marine tank or something along those lines, might have thrown Life for a loop. And Life, certainly, the way he was playing against mech with his Infestor usage was just so intelligent, because he was buying himself so much time every time MVP tried to push Fungal, fallback, Fungal, fallback, Fungal, fallback, Infested Terrans, fallback. And by the time eventually MVP got somewhere critical, Life just had an overwhelming amount of, you know, Broodlords, Corruptors, Lings, Queens, anything he needed to deal with it. And he adapted so well to the mech style of play, and that's the one thing that I worried about. I thought that Life's style might actually fail to MVP's style, because MVP is so much more calculated than a Marine King or a Tasia. And he sits back and he's so much more patient. But life actually, you know, adapted in a way that allowed him to overcome MVP style, which I thought was superior. So life really blew me away.
I actually feel pretty okay with MVP's decision to keep going mech. That was clearly something he planned going in. And it's a response to the fact that life is so stylistic, like you said before. That he didn't even put down a Roach Warren until after the Hellion Rouse was over in some games against 2-Fat Blue Hellion. Which is like common knowledge says you absolutely have to have Roaches to hold that off. And so I think that in itself was okay. It's just he played the wrong kind of mech. And he still went 3-4.
Yeah. It's just like the funny stat that we were joking about while watching this was 100% of the game.
Air attack.
Well, there's that. We made a lot of jokes, I suppose, but the one I'm getting at is 100% of the time Broodlord show up, MVP died. And it's not a Broodlord complaint necessarily. Mech is obviously able to take that into account, but it's because MVP so front-loaded his mech, he was like so dedicated to Blue Flame Hellion Harass, and then mid-game, he was so dedicated to like tanks doing some kind of damage. The problem was life, and this is where Greg's comment comes especially true, where he said give credit to life. Life did an amazing job of buying time, yes, with Infestors like Painter said, but also constantly threatening Ling run buys, which is like blasphemous against mech. It's like, what? There's siege tanks and blue flames out there. Certainly they're not supposed to work, but life made it work. And yes, he lost Lings in droves, but what he did do is he bought himself time until Broodlords popped out, and then 25 tanks make MVP look like an idiot. But it's not like MVP in post-game interviews like, mass tanks are supposed to work against Broodlords, guys. I don't know what to tell you. It was supposed to have worked. What he would say is, yeah, I kept getting stuck on mass tanks because by the time it came, I felt comfortable moving out, the Broodlords were already out. Now I'm sitting on like 40 waste supply.
Yep.
Or, you know, 60.
Yeah.
And thus another GSL Finals comes and goes, but I was generally pretty happy with this particular season, just with the inclusion of some of the Pro League players and how far even, you know, Rain made it. I thought there were some good storylines this season, and it's like a week of downtime, and then it's like right back into things again. So be looking for that, but let's keep going. We still have quite a bit to go over in only about an hour. Another competition this past weekend was, of course, DreamHack Bucharest that took place, and we actually saw a pretty pretty big showing from the Europeans. In fact, the top four. All of the Koreans were eliminated by the quarterfinals, in the quarterfinals. So, Fnatic Rain, STC, Sage were in it. Sage was the only one who made it to quarterfinals and eliminated. Left off with Mana, Bly, Nurcio, and Starnin. Did you guys happen to catch any of these games this weekend?
I saw little bits and pieces.
Yeah.
Just a couple of games here and there.
I mean, generally, keeping in the vein of DreamHack, stream was well produced. Definitely some good games that came out of it. I thought that the finals was a bit one-sided. Like, I felt like Nurcio had a clear, whether it was a mental victory or not, advantage over Bly, and he just kind of steamrolled him in the end, 3-0. I think that most people seeing Nurcio go into the finals expected him to come out. Bly has actually won so many online competitions, but this is the first time that he ever made it to a offline finals. Which did qualify him for, I think, future DreamHack events. But that was probably, you know, I guess, one of the bigger stories to come out of it. That, along with, like, TLO's play, was one of the hot topics.
Giant.
Mana, Giant. I didn't get to watch any of Giants games. Did you actually see them?
Yeah, he made it to the... He ran up against Nurcio, and he was up 1-0, and in Game 2 on Ohana... Maybe that was Game 3. No, Game 2 on Ohana. He actually had a gigantic advantage, and then executed one of the worst, like, maxed attacks I've ever seen. Units wrapping around buildings accidentally, getting fungled, but then you can, like, sense him go, oh, shit, I'm getting fungled, better attack, and then he, like, attacks anyways, but... It's like the raptor from the raptor mascot falling, like coming into the court, tripping on its rollerblades.
So,
but it was still amazing. You could definitely tell that he was the guy that was pretty nervous, but he almost beat Nurcio, who went on to win the tournament.
Do you see this as like a player we might see more of in the future? Because I think I've seen Giant at one of the other DreamHacks, but
yeah, maybe. I mean, kind of one of the you talk about like the production being a big storyline for DreamHack. That their second storyline almost always is that it's at DreamHack tournaments where somebody comes out and it's like, oh wow, look at this guy. And for me, this tournament, it's a few people. I think Starnan deserves a big nod as one
that
of the.
That one really surprised me.
Yeah, one was really expecting him, but he's also he was a Protoss player, and he kind of appeared at the top there. Giant, obviously making it through the two group stages, but then also nearly beating Nurcio, and he actually won a round two. I keep saying nearly beating Nurcio, but I think that was round of eight. I think in round of 16, he actually did beat someone really good too. So
actually, he played Nurcio in the round of 16. It was a 2-1, so he took a game off of him.
Yeah, well, maybe it was in group play. He surprised us by beating somebody. Can't remember who it was. Someone really good, but. That's the other cool storyline, I think.
I was really surprised by Starnan getting up there. He actually plays on the NA ladder quite a bit, and he's always struck me as a player who like plays properly but just isn't top level at it. Like, he does all the right things. He does the right timings. If it gets to late game, he'll just sit there and turtle and send around Warp Prism and stuff. He stylistically plays right, but I never really saw him as a top 4 DreamHack kind of guy, so that was cool. And Stefano actually tweeted about this, but watching Bly like makes my head hurt. I don't know. He just has the turtliest. Like, he's willing to do all of the things that are really good about Zerg, but, like, kill your soul to do. It's so frustrating to watch him play, and I feel terrible for his opponents.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, it is the most efficient style, I guess you could say.
Greg, you could say that he needs to apologize for playing that race.
Yes, he does. It's terrible. Playing the race that way.
And now it comes full circle.
No, I've been pretty consistent about that. I've always said the Turtle Zerg is good. It's just terrible.
Yeah, especially from like a spectator's perspective. I mean, it really tends to drag on, but
no, players' perspective too.
Yeah, players' perspective as well. And you know, the one salvaging moment can be the mothership. You know, somebody might get a neural or a huge vortex will go off, and you know, that's really exciting. But the build up to get to that point and the way that the matchup has sort of developed in the late game is just makes for some not great
some atrocious games.
Yeah.
Vortex actually stopped being exciting a few months ago. Now it's like Zergs have little pockets of 3 or 4 Broodlords, and yes, like 2 of them get Vortexed.
Which 3 Broodlords are going to be out of battle for a minute?
If I'll tell you what, in this day and age, when you ever see like a gigantic Vortex that hits the entire Broodlord army, A, the Zerg's an idiot, but B, it's always they're like moving and they're back at home injecting, and the mothership just fucking comes out of nowhere. Like some secret mothership, like recalled that one into that spot, and then it vortexes the army.
It's even worse because it's always the kind of situation where it would have been knurled and the game would be over if the Zerg were watching.
They're throwing a Hail Mary. They're just like, okay, in case he doesn't see the biggest unit in the whole game flying across the minimap, here we go.
Why is that building moving?
Huh? Yeah. Wow, the symmetry in that army is fantastic. It's moving like it's one thing. Like.
And Zergs have certainly been getting better about, you know, catching the mothership as well. I mean, if you look at Leenok as an example in the late game, he'll have Burrowed Infestors moving around behind the Protoss army, and he'll get rid of the Vortex before it's even in the fray, before it's even on the field. And I don't know. What do you think from a Protoss and Zerg perspective?
The mothership's always been gimmicky. Like, back when it was really overpowered and working well against Zerg, it was still just because Zergs weren't controlling their army. Once they started controlling their army, the only time the mothership works in that way is if the Zerg fucks up again. And that's mm-hmm. a weird way to play the game. There's people that make careers off that, but it's still a weird way to play the game.
I agree.
And definitely not, like, ultra effective. I mean, you guys already talked about having a particular style and eventually getting figured out, or
the mothership for me is a giant respect button. It's basically like, here comes respect, back the fuck up, you better respect me. And the Zerg's like, holy shit, hang on, I need like 5 minutes to set up my army. And then it pulls back, and then meanwhile the Protoss is huddling up saying, okay, what the fuck do we do about this? And then they basically, like, there's Hero who's like, I'll throw 5 Warp Prisms out on the map and hope he never attacks me. If he does attack me, I'm dead. But if he doesn't, he's dead. Then there's other Zergs who are like, I heard carries are pretty good. And then it's a big question of, like, do the Zergs know about fungling interceptors, which ironically 99% of them don't know about. So that sometimes kind of works. And other Protoss are just like some Protoss will go like, I think actually I can still Vortex his whole army, and if I can get my stalkers under his 36 Broodlords, I could actually do this. Yeah, we could do this.
I think it's
audience watches.
I think it's kind of it detracts from gameplay to have the largest 200-200 late game battle hinge so heavily on one specific unit and its powerful ability. I think that it just kind of it makes it more of a coin toss. I guess
it's
you could
okay,
say.
Man. When the fucking Heart of the Swarm, the new Nidus Worms come out, you know, it'll be one that's like larger than the fucking size of a Terran scan, and it'll just swallow any units. It's an insta cast, and it only takes half a second for the
fucking
worm. It's
like escape the mothership.
And then it spits everything out, but it spits everything out with random health values. So it's possible that things die, and then it's possible that some like just take a little bit of health and maybe, you know,
maybe they heal.
Yeah. It'll be really good.
The units that go in first are more digested. They come out with the least amount of health.
The Zerg Sarlacc pit, exactly. That's exactly.
There's like a Zergling with 700 health that just randomly comes out, and the ult just gets 35.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, that randomization teleportation device you used was so good. I'm like,
no.
Sweet joke. Justin Browder might be watching this. We should be careful.
It's like,
there's like mutilists that came through without their wings, so it's just flopping uselessly on the ground. Hurting out.
Undulating.
Oh my god, I just like pictured it in my head like perfectly, like a fish out of water, but a mutant not in the
sky. I thought Hydras were useless until the Hydralis and Infector hybrid came out of that vortex the other day.
So it was amazing. I don't know if you guys remember. I bet you Greg might remember. Maybe actually Payne Easton might remember, but there was an old esports event that was Counter-Strike, Warcraft 3, and they're actually making a sort of transition to Starcraft 2. And this week, I think starting on Thursday, going for a couple days, there is going to be a fairly prestigious competition with eight kind of Starcraft pros. It's called the World Esports Masters 2012. Have you guys heard about this?
WEM sounds familiar.
Yeah,
but...
yeah, that's what it is. WEM. It takes place in China. They're replacing Warcraft 3 with Starcraft 2. Is their
that's
official RTS game? It is pretty big in China.
China replacing Warcraft is pretty big.
That's pretty big. Yeah. So Sase, JYP, Alive, Marine King, MMA, MVP, Leenok, and Nesty are going to be the first competitors. Which could make for some pretty good matches. Best of three till the grand finals, and best of five for the grand finals.
Those are good people to represent StarCraft II to an audience that might need some invigorating. Like, obviously, yeah. StarCraft II is in China, but we don't know how big it is there. You send Nesty, Marine King, MMA. These are some of the more exciting players to watch. And then, of course, JOP is going to win the thing, but...
There you go.
Actually, having Sase there is a pretty big deal just because he's going to draw in a lot of the Chinese fans from Warcraft.
Yeah.
Because he lived there for a while.
Yeah, he's really popular. Really popular in China, for sure. That's a good point, Greg. But, you can find out. I have no idea about a stream. I have no idea about that. I don't even know if there's not even a web page here on Leakpedia. So I'm sure we'll see results, but... yeah, I have no idea about all that other stuff. So
Chinese events are always really exciting, and trying to figure out whether or not they're actually happening.
Yeah, and if there is going to be like an awesome 4x3, 300 kilobit stream, I can't wait. We've gotten through most of the event stuff that took place. There's a few exceptions, but I think what we'll do is we'll take a break. We come back, going to talk about Slayers, going to talk about... the sort of sky is falling stuff that happened last week, since it happened the day after inside the game. So guys, stick with us. We're going to take a quick break, and when we return, we'll continue second half of Inside the Game. Don't go away. We'll be right back. All right, welcome back to our second half of Inside the Game. DJ Wee joined by Idra and In Control. I have no idea where Paid User went. It's okay. We'll go ahead and get the second half going without him. I'm sure he'll come busting through that white door. Now, actually, when he comes in, when you guys see him come in, everyone just spam, like, ha, 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 Pain User. Everyone in chat. Not till he comes back. Once he sits down, ha, 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 Pain User. And then we will just mind fuck him. Like, he will have no idea what is going
on. I think we should
on.
All just keep mouthing, like, pretending we're talking, but not saying anything. Let him think his headset fucked up again.
Okay. Not wait until he comes back in. The moment he comes back in. With that being said, of course, that was the Pain User transition if you didn't figure that out.
I'm walking a meter.
We're going to talk about the Sky is Falling. Talk about the Slayers disbanding, which also came, pretty much at, you know, the exact time or right on top of it. So it was just this like weird thing that, you know, went from stage one to stage two almost immediately. So, I mean, where do we want to start? Do we want to start with like the Sky is Falling and sort of what happened last week? I mean, I know Jeff and Idra, you had mentioned earlier that you wanted to maybe make some comments on it. What? Who wants to start? Jeff,
Greg, you want to be good cap, good cop, or bad cop?
be both.
I don't know. I'm not sure which role is rich in this. I'll say what I think, and then you can do
all right.
Part.
All right.
Do that.
I don't know. I think it's kind of silly. Like, things are obviously not as good as they used to be. If you look at stream views. Okay. I can't wait to see Bad Cop.
But you said kind of silly. I knew that you were going to be really nice about this.
I'll be nice about some parts. But stream views are obviously worse than they used to be. Part of that's because there's a lot more stuff going on, like big events, headline events. WCS Europe still gets 100,000 views. And another thing is just like the timing of everything. Heart of the Swarm is out, but not good yet. So no one's really too interested in watching it. Like, it's a competition that can be completely different the next week. It's hard to be emotionally invested in that. But at the same time, everyone knows Wings of Liberty is on the way out. Like, it has a clock on it. These tournaments in November and December are probably the last tournaments we're going to have for them. So that's also hard to be excited about. And everyone else has other shit going on, like school and LOL is now a big legitimate thing, Dota as well. It's just like there's other things to do, and StarCraft 2 is no longer as good to watch. So people are gone for now. Then Heart of the Storm's going to come back. It's going to revitalize things. We're going to have a little blip, and then it's going to drop back down and level off again, but it's not going to drop this slow. Like, things are going to be fine. But everyone, like, the whole Sky is Falling thing, everyone being stupid about it, if anything, it just makes it worse because it makes everyone feel like there's actually a problem instead of just a normal viewership cycle that we're going to experience and is going to be fine. So that just makes everyone get all panicky and freaked out, and everyone starts making Reddit threads, and a bunch of idiot pros start tweeting about saving HOTS when HOTS is going to be just as good or bad as Wings of Liberty was. Like, Blizzard, everyone knows how I feel about Blizzard, but StarCraft 2 is the RTS. Esports always has an RTS. There's nothing even close to it. It's in no danger at all, long term, unless people are idiots and start flocking away from it just because they're stupid. Like, people need to calm down.
And, like, also, I think that all of the comparisons, especially to the other MOBA communities, it just makes no sense because, honestly, they generate viewership as a whole in esports, and it doesn't necessarily have to be a negative thing. Everybody looks at it as a negative thing, or they think that LOL is pulling thousands of viewers away from StarCraft, or that, you know, Dota 2 is pulling thousands of viewers away from us, and now all our viewership is dropping. If you look at us presenting esports to the rest of the world as like a sponsorship proposal or a sponsorship deck, the more success that these other games have all around full circle benefits all of us. It's like a symbiotic relationship between these other games. So I don't know why people think that, you know, that's killing StarCraft 2 because LOL and Dota 2 are getting such great viewership for events. And they're different game types, separate games. And I really don't think that StarCraft 2 is like on the decline in the way that people think it is. I think it's going to be around as the competitive FPS or RTS for quite some time.
It's like once that FPS mode gets worked in there by Blizzard in about 15 years.
You know, I mean, what's going to threaten StarCraft?
Sorry, I'm just getting my pre-rant stretches in here.
Okay.
What's going to threaten StarCraft in a real sense?
The free-to-play Command & Conquer, obviously.
You know, I mean...
But, you know, actually, I have an honest answer to that. I was thinking, you know, I was sick last week, so I just didn't participate in any of the Sky is Falling shit. And I was just kind of thinking about it, because I was like, you know, RTS is always going to have a place. There's just, like, to me, I can't see competitive gaming without an RTS. Like, it's never existed without an RTS. I just, it's, like, impossible, right? So, I was thinking, every other game that has seen success as a successor in esports has basically copied another game.
Yeah.
Except for fucking StarCraft. Like, you know, I mean, getting Tiberium and Command & Conquer and the way that you... Like, it's just... It's not the same. Like, I don't understand why someone just doesn't take the concept of three races collecting resources that can be adversely affected by another army... And just, like, run with it. Like, you could make Command & Conquer and just apply the philosophy of StarCraft to it and probably make a pretty decent FPS. Like, I'm not convinced. Like, the StarCraft lore is obviously important. But I think that now people are like, we just want the right game and a solid game to play. But anyway.
Balance and diversity are the... Well, balance and diversity are the big things there. Like, it's actually... That's the hard thing to do. Rather than just copying the format. And, like, even Blizzard can't do it anymore. So that's the problem with coming out with a new RTS. And part of the reason the StarCraft 2 is so stable. Like, it'll just keep going on name value because no other game that's that good is going to come out because it's so hard to make one that's actually good.
Yeah.
Especially
with a predecessor like Brood War. I mean...
Jeff? Are you stretched? Are you...
I'm ready.
Want to do another lap? Or... Okay.
Okay, I'm going to jump around on this because I'm actually, you know, when someone says something so utterly, inanely stupid that like a thousand things shoot up like pollen and you're like plucking at, how do I tell them how stupid they are? Which one do I go for? And that's what's happening to me right now because I'm going to jump around here a little bit. First and foremost, putting the entire existence of StarCraft II and wrapping it around and saying the only chance we have to save this, the absolute only thing that could happen to make this game live to the third expansion is X, is scientifically the stupidest thing that Destiny has ever said. And this is a guy who sent dick pics to one of the moderators for his own job. I'm talking about epic level idiocy. Like, this is like, it's just that. It's actually the dumbest thing he's ever said. You don't tell the community, you don't use your fame and your name to sit there and go, guys, I've come from the future. I know, all right? I've got it. I've got the fucking answer. This game's going to die if Blizzard doesn't do the following thing. So it's actually not even Blizzard. It's us by proxy of the game designers. We know what's best. They're the only ones that can do it. So they've created this fucking rat trap that has, like, guillotines. It has bigger steroid-fed rats in the rat trap. And it has, like, firewalls going back and forth. And say, if the rat can run through there snipping the cheese, then we'll have StarCraft Legacy of the Void. Otherwise, we're all going to be playing LOL or something like that. It is actually the dumbest thing he's ever done. And I'll tell you, he created this atmosphere. He helped create. It's not just him. Like Idris said, the Rut guys kind of helped with this. But he basically created this community event where people actually thought, oh, my God, if we don't tweet bomb Blizzard, they're not going to know how to make their own game successful for the future. We have to do this. And the ironic part about this is there was like save HOTS tweets and like you need to do this. We need Colossus with multi lasers. We need flare shooting Marines when they're left at three or fewer to obviously SOS for more help. We need care packages. Like all these ideas were circling around. And it was all in the name of casual gamers. So if I'm a casual gamer looking in, like let's say, you know, I've got my looking glass and it's like, ahoy, there's League of Legends. What are they doing on their island? And they're all like, oh, there's new characters and our tournament's doing great. Everything's great. And they're like, okay, that looks like a happy little island. let's look at StarCraft 2. And they look at the StarCraft 2 island, and people, like, literally Destiny's on the street corner with that sign that says the end is coming.
Handing out nooses.
Instead of everyone ignoring him like they should, there's fucking thousands of people sitting outside going, you're right. Oh, my God. If we don't use Twitter to tell Blizzard what to do, we're all going to die. Like, it's literally the scariest world created for these people because they're believing a well-spoken, otherwise pretty intelligent guy who just comes out of right field and says, I have the answer to why StarCraft II is not doing as well. And it's all about Blizzard. They put all their eggs in one basket, and they say, if Blizzard doesn't do X, Y, and Z, we're all fucking dead. It's all over. So not only does he give, like, false hope, because that's essentially what happens. If, like, what does Blizzard do, by the way? You know what their response was? Their response was, we are arm in arm with you guys. We love StarCraft, and we want you to know that the tweets mean a lot to us. I mean, a lot. And we're listening. We're listening. And then a lot of the community went like, oh my God, we did it. Did it. They said it with their blue name on their forum. They're listening. Rob Simpson tweeted at everyone in one tweet. And then fucking guess what's going to happen? Nothing. Nothing changes. Yeah. It doesn't actually work that way. They don't have a fix-all. They're going to continue to try to balance the game. They're going to continue to evaluate their global WCS scheme or how that's going to change and what they're going to do to incorporate more people. But they have the numbers. They know that WCS Europe was just a few months ago. It had 100,000 viewers, to which Destiny then goes, if you have 600,000 people on one stream and 100,000 on another, which one do you give your money to? And a lot of people looked at that and go, you know, ignoring all evidence in real life and actually taking all of history into account, he's got a real point. He's got a really good point. It doesn't actually work that way. If gaming was one gigantic, like, boop, 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 we have 700 more viewers, and then all the sponsors are like, run! Run over here! Then it wouldn't be anywhere near what it is now. What it is now is, who has the infrastructure? What is your age base? How does that translate to brand loyalty? Do those people actually consume? Do they pursue? Even if these questions are answered differently, they also have different areas to invest. If you're a hardcore LoL person, you may or may not be a StarCraft II person. He threw out numbers like 90% conversion rate. Let me show you. Hang on. I'm creating the numbers that he is right now. Here it is. Oh, okay, it just came directly from my ass. I've got the numbers. It's 63%. It was 63% conversion. Shit. And I pulled that directly out of my ass, same place that he did. So I've got big issues with that because he's throwing around these scary numbers and someone out there's going, like, here's what someone says, and their head's like this because it's a little, they're a little bit shorter, and they're like, 90% conversions rates? Holy cow, that's so many. And then they switch to LoL because they want to play they want to play games in the future.
Is it appropriate if I bring Steven on? He would really, really like to retort your...
Get him on, man.
Is that okay?
Yeah.
Okay.
He's pretty reasonable.
Yeah.
That was fucking...
Let's bring Mr. Bonnell on. And let's see if he has any active retorts to this. He said, put me in coach. Steven.
Hey, what's up?
Yo, what's up, man?
What's up, man?
I heard shit was going down here.
Shit is going down.
It's going down. We're talking about StarCraft 2.
Or rather, out.
The state of your post. And
just retort. He was listening, for Christ's sake.
Yes, yeah. So, Steven, it's not very often we get to have sort of the live interaction here. So, you have a retort for Mr. Robinson?
Yeah. Okay, first of all, the whole, we can use official channels and we can, like, wait for Blizzard to do shit and all of that, that was, like, super cool. Like, a year and a half ago, when StarCraft 2 was, like, the shit, we were riding off the Brood War community, StarCraft 2 just came out, this was the eSport, you know, everybody was like, fucking StarCraft 2 is going to be the next huge thing, because Brood War was a huge thing. But after waiting around for two fucking years, and having nothing happen, and then having these other companies come from literally nowhere. Valve didn't come from nowhere, obviously, but they weren't, like, Dota 2 was nothing 2 years ago. League of Legends was, like, smaller than Han 2 years ago, wasn't it? For them to come out of nowhere with literally an ass load of features from companies that were never involved in the industry before and are now getting 10 times more viewers than our fucking, than our game, than StarCraft 2. It hurts me, Jeff, because you come from fucking Brood War and you can stand here and you can watch, like, StarCraft 2, the game that is, like, the successor to arguably the most successful esport in the world, that you can stand here and watch that game turn to shit. We have lag screens at BlizzCon, but we're gonna, like, sit here and wait around for Blizzard to, like, do... Like, how the fuck is that? Like, in what world does it make sense that we have close spawns and lag screens at BlizzCon?
Well, a couple things.
That's, like, an okay thing. Like, we can just wait for Blizzard because, well, don't worry, in the expansion, in the $40 expansion to their $60 game, we're gonna have features that existed on a game that was released before us 24-year-olds even went through puberty. Like, that's so fucked up. That's, I don't understand in what world, like, that's acceptable.
Let me say a couple things. Let me say a couple things. First of all, there's a couple of weird assumptions being made. Number one, the official channel response, that's not what I'm advocating at all. That's fundamentally assuming that I agree that Blizzard is the only answer for how this is going to improve, which I actually disagree with. In fact, I vote strongly that that's not it. Secondly, there's this couple of weird things that are being propped up. The game's turned to shit. Excuse me. It is not turned to shit. Just because other games are passing it in viewership. Hang on, buddy. Let me finish here. Just because other games have passed in viewership does not equate to us being the shit game. Like, it doesn't actually work that way. In addition to that, you bring up lag screens. Like, that's exclusive to StarCraft 2. Hello, the World Finals! For League of Legends and Randy Savage actually had their entire fucking event canceled because they went to shit. Actually.
Do you know what they did? Do you know what they did after that? Do you know what they did? They made a fucking LAN client for future tournaments.
Hold on. Hold on. Blizzard has a LAN client. Hold on. Hold on.
They made a LAN client. Because
Blizzard has a LAN client.
I realized it was embarrassing as fuck.
Let's keep
this.
Lag screen
at their own tournament.
I brought up the Randy Savage impression, and that actually...
Yeah. Let's keep it somewhat civil.
Okay, first and foremost, Blizzard...
I just like Randy Savage.
...has a LAN client. They have gone on record to say they have a LAN client. In any tournament who wants to hire an armed guard to guard said LAN realm is more than happy to do that. I've heard this multiple times. So either someone from Blizzard is just kind of like spewing what we want to hear, or people aren't necessarily like looking, because it comes down to the issue of piracy, right? Now, I've got another question based off of what you had said, Steven, in that You said StarCraft 2 hadn't done anything, and then suddenly these other companies come in and look what they do with the numbers and kind of look what they're doing with their game. But I would ask you in a very serious way, like, if StarCraft 2 hadn't paved the way for how to make a major tournament, how to broadcast it online, how to, you know, keep active interest in some of these leagues, do you think that Riot and or Valve would have come out of the gate with the same level of success?
StarCraft 2 didn't pave the way for shit. This entire game owes its existence to Brood War. If StarCraft 2 wasn't
what?
Called StarCraft 2,
no,
it
no, no, no,
are you
we're
serious?
Not,
come
no,
on.
I'm,
are you
I'm
serious
not talking
right
about
now?
The
He's
game.
About
I am talking
different.
About what has happened through the organic growth of said game because of things like video broadcasting and streaming over the internet and the fact that MLG Dream Hack, IPL, like, these are the guys that kind of, like, showed everyone else, like, okay, if you want to broadcast an esport, this is how you've got to do it. I'm saying, if none of that shit existed, if like, fucking MLG, the last thing they did was World of Warcraft, and then 4 years goes by, do you think that Riot and Valve would have put forth the exact same effort that they put forth if all of that shit wasn't there?
Well, they
you're asking
they may
me
have,
if a company that invests $5 million a season in prize pools alone
success,
would put the same effort in as Blizzard that has just now started doing WCS games. You're asking me if those companies or Valve that get so much money per SteamCon. I mean, obviously, I think they would have. I'm sure StarCraft 2 doing it first helped a little bit. What can I like? What this
You're
is
not
like my biggest
my
problem.
Question though, Steven.
Would they still exist? Yeah, of course they still exist. Like,
I'm
like,
not
like, 35
asking you
million
if they would
players.
Exist.
You don't think they would be doing
They're
anything?
Exist.
You think they did StarCraft 2?
Listen,
would
just hold on. Listen for just a second. What did you watch on fucking line before there was StarCraft 2 tournaments?
Brood War tournaments. I mean, that's the only other thing that
you didn't watch. Brood War tournaments. You watched BODs, right? Yeah, you watched BOD of Korean. And then what happened? And then the beta comes out. There's like day nine does his giant thing. Suddenly, players are streaming. Suddenly, fucking every tournament, every other goddamn weekend is broadcasting. You know, online, and they're setting the standard. Like, do you agree or do you not agree? Do you really not credit StarCraft II for at least creating this online video streaming culture when it comes to competitive gaming and streaming tournaments?
Yeah, I mean, I'll give them that. It definitely helped, but that's not what this conversation is about at all.
The bigger thing is that what does a few retards going on Twitter and posting save HOTS actually do to fix this issue? Do you think that makes it more likely?
No, that does nothing. I wasn't with that group. I don't think the issue is savable. I think it's fucked completely. This is the problem, okay?
Is he posting that completely unproductive? Because like Blizzard kind of sucks. Like I agree with that. I've been pretty vocal about that. But they are not the only answer. And by posting this big negative thing, when you do have a big fan base, that just makes the entire community be negative about it and just worry about that and try and yell at Blizzard instead of actually focusing on the things that we can correct, which is supporting the team, supporting the players, supporting the tournaments, and you know actually being positive.
None of that matters. None of that matters.
Players
okay, this is
and
the biggest
tournaments
problem
have
then.
No as, control as over the game.
Yeah, but
as professionals who exist in this little clique of professionals, okay, sometimes we okay, you guys get this idea that, okay, like, we really need to grow esports, so what we need is we need to bump up player salaries, we need tournaments, we need better coverage. That's all secondary to the first and the most important thing, and the most important thing is how many fucking people play your game, because a percentage of the people
that
play
the
game are going to be involved in
the
community.
The only way we can fix that is by making
the
product we produce better. Because Blizzard
sucks. You feel backwards what you're saying is too? Exactly. Let me put it. I'm basically repeating what Greg just said, but you recognize that Blizzard is doing a poor job, and then you actually tell the community like it's all up to Blizzard to fix this by the third expansion.
Yes, because Blizzard is the only company that can actually change their client to grow the player base to give us more people to advertise our tournaments.
They're the only ones who can change.
I don't think that's true.
They're not the only ones.
I mean, at the end of the day,
tell me how you're going to get more casual players interested in the game. Because I'm telling you right now, the casual player doesn't give a fuck about late game ZVP. The casual player doesn't give a fuck about coin flip builds and ZVZ. The casual player doesn't give a fuck about anything.
Casual players enjoy watching tournaments. Otherwise, LoL tournaments wouldn't have nearly as many viewers because most of them are
casual.
So if we put out better tournaments, then we get more viewers.
LoL tournaments would have 1 million viewer tournaments instead of 100,000 people watching. Okay. 600,000.
Also, though, you're kind of ignoring something. Like, you keep citing Brood War as this amazing spectator event. Did you know that Brood War was perhaps the biggest example of the worst casual experience in existence for gaming, but the highest end in terms of skill-based game? Like, StarCraft, real-time strategy as a genre, is a genre of a game that's going to have a far and away larger interest overall of people that respect the level of play and like watching it than they actually like getting involved. That's the opposite, however, Steven, with MOBAs like LoL, where it's so accessible that, yes, the top end is extremely skilled. I'm not trying to make some weird LoL critique where I say it's an easy game, but what I am saying is I can download it for free, I can play it for free, and I can kill two people in a game and enjoy some level of success, whereas in StarCraft 2, I have to pay for it, go play it, and then I'm probably going to get my ass handed to me while I don't know how to build a Hydralisk.
Yeah, and you
Except
have to
it's
learn
completely
a different
because Battle.net was an incredibly social experience. A lot of people could go online and play Canon Defense because the use map settings systems didn't suck the dick. The Battle.net, the entire chat interface, the entire having friends, the entire having ops and channels kept everybody in that community really fucking active. There were tons of people who would log on just to chat with friends and play UMS games. How many times does that happen in StarCraft 2? You can't
even find a UMS game unless it's
Canon Wars or some shit.
They're
it's
doing that. They're trying. They're adding clan support.
Fuck, it's been two fucking years. These things existed in games that were released 15 years ago. That's not like an acceptable excuse from a multi-billion dollar corporation. Now that they're Blizzard Activision, we're
no
trying
that,
to get
I now
features
agree
rolled
with
out that were
right.
out 15
I mean,
years ago. Are
I mean,
you fucking kidding me?
At the end of the day, the buck stops with Blizzard to make any of these kind of changes. Now, the question here, I think, is are we going about approaching them in the right way? I think it's in Blizzard's hands no matter what. We can't deny that. They're the only ones that can change their client. That, well, Jeff, I mean, we can rally together.
Like, that aspect of thing is definitely within Blizzard's control, but we're not going to change
that's
Blizzard.
Not what
we've been yelling at them for 2 years.
Yeah.
Like, they're
that's
not changing.
Fundamental
we should focus on the things that we can do.
Exactly.
But I mean, okay, well, if you take what Destiny has been saying, for instance, I mean, we've mentioned this on previous episodes of the show multiple times, how we've said even the original Battle.net was a far superior user interface.
Yeah.
And even integrating a simple form of IRC coded by Blizzard that they own that has, you know, different clan channels, everybody can interact, there's a social experience. It's almost like they want it to be sort of this isolated experience.
I hate to say this, but I think you're kind of missing the argument. Like, those are all things that Greg and I and we have said we agree, and that's what and the argument is actually located where Steven says that's the only way. Is Blizzard makes those changes, but they haven't because they fucked up for 2 years. And Greg Wheat and I are saying that is not the only way that this game.
Well, we got to propose some alternatives.
It's not the only way, but the positive effect that Blizzard could have on the community by changing those things are 95% of the possible new players you could bring in. Yeah, you can get a few new people in, I guess, by having like replays for tournaments or whatever. Like, that stuff is fine. But if you were to double the size of your player base, you would grow the size of every other tournament without anybody even having to do anything. Whereas you have to put in all this effort to just, like, you're fighting and fighting and fighting to trying to get the few people that play this game just to watch your tournaments. Why not have a company that can make a few really simple changes and double or triple the size of your player base right off the bat?
Like, because they haven't for 2 years, and we've been bitching at them for 2 years. It's not going to change, so why the fuck bother?
Don't put it all in on them. It's a bad all in, Steven.
Yeah. It's not an all in. It's fucking like
you're trying to actually
about it.
In
95% of your stack. You just said that, so I'm sorry for
you. In your post, you literally said the only thing that can save it is Blizzard. So that's kind of like the definition.
Because to some extent, like, if Blizzard isn't like selling more copies of the game, like, then that's it. Then you're fucked. Like, who wants to fight? Why would tournaments want to sit here and fight so hard to attract the viewership of a game with 2 million active players when they can just cater to an audience like League of Legends or Dota with millions and tens of millions of active players?
Hold on 1 second, because once again, Destiny, you bring up League of Legends and you bring up Dota. I just want to know. Is League of Legends your staple for success?
Yeah, I would say so right now.
So,
yes.
So by you saying that League of Legends is a staple for success, you are also dooming pretty much every other fucking game that's going to come out for quite some time. Because nothing is going to be able to match the numbers of League of Legends anytime
soon. I'm not talking about numbers,
it's
though.
The model.
No, we are talking about numbers because when you talk about increasing the number of casual players in a game, then you're directly talking about comparing the numbers because we know that's the only way that StarCraft is actually going to grow inherently.
I think it's the free-to-play model, to be honest. I think it's the free-to-play model.
It's absolutely the free-to-play model.
That's what it is.
There are two things. One is there's an appeal to casual players. That appeal exists in the form of unranked play, an unranked play that's based on a hidden MMR. That is super appealing to people because you get to go online,
you can play with friends,
you can play alone, and you don't have to stress out about the fucking, like, when you go to StarCraft 2, it's like, 1v1, ladder, fuck, diamond, gold. Like, everything is like, holy fuck, this is competitive as shit. Nobody who's a casual player wants to play that. Nobody wants
unranked
to fucking
two coming in.
Shit. That's stressful as fuck.
That's an announced part of... That's part of Heart of the Swarm.
Coming in, Steven.
It's great that they're getting that into the expansion of their $60 game fucking 2 years late, but holy fuck.
No one is defending Blizzard.
Are you just mad at them for being late, or do you actually think the game's going to die?
Are you just mad at them for being... Dude, it's fucking Blizzard! How can you guys sit here and make excuses for a company that makes millions of dollars every month?
No one is making excuses.
Yeah, I'm not making excuses.
You're making excuses. Are you mad because it's just 2 years late that they're getting these features? You're not fucking mad. It's terrible. It's fucking over the entire StarCraft 2 scene. It affects your salaries. It affects the money that you compete for at tournaments. And it affects every single other part of the scene.
But actually, nothing has changed yet. Like, nothing has actually changed yet, Steven, right? Like, nothing. A salary has not been affected.
I'm getting a raise this next contract.
Well, there you go. That's the part I don't understand.
I mean,
like, all of the smart people in the community realize that this is a little blip, and that viewership's going to go back up as soon as Heart of the Swarm comes out, no matter how bad Blizzard fucks it up, because they've done that before, and we've just kept on rolling. And that's what's going to keep
happening. I'm pretty sure everybody expected Heart of the Swarm 2 streams, or Heart of the Swarm streams and Heart of the Swarm tournaments to get much bigger viewership than they are now. I mean, I'm sure there's like still like a little bump, and when it releases, there'll be a little bump. But people were expecting like a rejuvenation or a reinvigoration of the game when Heart of the Swarm comes out. I don't see that happening.
But you said people are expecting, but we haven't, like, nothing has actually happened yet. Like, until the game comes out, we can't even begin to speculate what may happen. I mean,
you have a reasonable expectation of resurgence of interest when an expansion to a popular game comes out.
When the beta went up,
it hasn't come out
okay.
immediately. It
like,
hasn't.
Fucking Truby was getting like 5,000 viewers. That's not supposed to happen. It did bump up, but then people realize how unexciting it is to watch a game that's clearly broken that's going to change in the next week. Like, that makes perfect sense. That's nothing to do with the game or the client or whatever. It's just the fact that it's a beta.
And
so
also,
until the actual game releases...
how many times does a beta to a sequel come out?
Yeah.
It is.
I didn't hear that. How many times does
the beta to a sequel comes out? Like, there's already the pre-existing game. People weren't watching Pandaren beta streams like there's no fucking tomorrow. When it actually comes out, I'll tell you what, Steven. I will stand on that street corner and hold up those end of days signs with you if when Heart of the Swarm comes out, the numbers again dip. But I guarantee you they won't. And I think you know that too. I think you know that.
I mean, they're going to go up a little bit when it comes out, but it's not going to be the growth that we're looking for. And it's going to go right back to what it was before and back to sinking as soon as it releases.
It's always going to peak and dip. But as long as it's one of the biggest and most played games that people have at every tournament, that's what we want for the community. Isn't that right?
I think there's a huge lack. Like, I certainly don't think that it's going to pick us back up to where we were, say, beta era. There's definitely going to be a spike, but I'm not convinced.
We couldn't get picked up to beta era because the numbers now compared to beta era are fucking like hilariously larger.
For the big events.
No, individual streamers used to get like 600.
Compared to maybe a couple years ago, but stream viewership numbers for everything is down now compared to 6 months
actually,
ago.
Actually, stream viewers for everything is up. It's just spread out more because every single month that I have worked for Twitch, which is 18 fucking months, it's only gone up. Like, that's the one thing I don't understand is that people need to realize that the streaming numbers are not going down. In fact, they're fucking skyrocketing every month. We're like, Jesus, we thought that it was going to fucking plateau, but God damn it, people keep on watching games. It may not be StarCraft, but people are watching more shit. In fact, it might be. Maybe we should start blaming speedruns.
How does Andrew feel about that? No. I'm curious. How do you feel about that? You think stream numbers are the same right now that they were 6 months to a year ago?
No, there's point. Mathematically,
that's not what he's saying.
Right, that stream numbers are growing, but the amount of shit that is out there has spread out so much that people are like refocusing their eyeballs. Maybe this show lost a few people because someone started watching Siglamech run in fucking Super Mario 64. But I'm not going to put up a fucking doomsday prophecy saying that. God damn it, guys, speed running is fucking with StarCraft 2. Like,
what was the competitive game? What was the game that people decided between Wings of Liberty and then this other game? What did they watch? My point is there was nothing else.
There was nothing else.
Nothing else. So to compare this to that, when we have when we have Dota 2 on the rise, we have League of Legends leading the charge, people have games and genres to choose between, which is what Wheat's talking about when he says the overall viewership's rising. It's not isolated in one game. And that's why there's some of us that get emotionally in, like, charged about this, Steven, when you talk about it, because these 2 years of StarCraft II, you look at it as stagnation and failure. I look at it as breaking through and making the way so that other games can get on the scale of StarCraft II or above and beyond, like League of Legends, and create a world where people are choosing between games to play for a living as opposed to saying, either I play StarCraft II or I travel to events in pajama pants and yell at fat people on the stream and play fighting games with the fight
system. I don't understand how you or anybody that comes from Brood War, like, isn't more mad. Brood War was the flagship esports. Like, it was, like, the fucking, like, the shit. Like, everybody looked at Brood War as, like, an example of, like, this is what esports should be. The huge tournaments, the players, like, all these guys getting paid hundreds of thousands of dollars in Korea. Like, it's the shit. StarCraft II comes out, and Blizzard hypes it as, this is the predecessor to Brood War, it's gonna be the shit, this is the esports, everything is about esports. And it comes out, and okay, like, there are some problems, but we're all really fucking excited because of StarCraft II. I'm sure they'll get LAN eventually. Oh, the game launched without chat channels. Oh, I'm sure we'll be able to have fucking name changes and multiple consoles. It's coming. 2 years later, you have a game that's, like, the mechanical skill ceiling to LoL is so much lower than StarCraft 2. You guys all fucking know this. If you would have said 2 years ago, hey, this game where you can play with other friends and you can't even deny your own creeps is going to be 10 times larger than StarCraft 2, like, what would you have said? Like, would you have honestly believed that?
Yeah, I would have thought you were crazy. But
you would have called me crazy. And, like, now here we are with our thumbs wedged firmly up our asses. I'm sure it's coming. Oh, don't worry. It's coming in Heart of the Swarm. We'll have LAN for tournaments and we'll have
right,
unranked
Steven,
play.
Steven,
like, it's like,
Steven,
funny
Steven,
the right points here.
What do you think about, like, maybe a middle ground between that, like, where, because I totally agree with you that Blizzard needs to do a much better job attracting the casual player and the casual gamer, and I think Riot and Dota 2 with Valve have done a great job in doing this, and I don't see why it would be that hard for Blizzard to possibly integrate something where there are microtransactions for special armor, special different types of rifles, different, you know, outfits for units, Zerg carapaces, things like that, and integrate the chat channels that you're speaking about that's still been 2 years and running, and we still have no real form of functioning clan or chat channel, which
yes.
actually creates a community around
yes.
the game, and then you can start selling these microtransactions and perhaps make it free to play and accessible to hundreds of thousands of more people. That's the best idea I
can
come up with.
That's what needs to happen. Blizzard needs to find ways to get people that don't want to play ladder or don't want to watch tournaments even, give them reasons to log on and play the game. Because right now, if you don't like to ladder and you're not involved in the community, you have fuck all reasons to ever get on. Whereas there are tons of people that play League and Dota that have never even heard of the tournaments. They just get on and play because it's fun. Because you get on, you chat with friends, you play unranked games and shit like that is fun. Same with Battle.net. You get on, you go to fucking Channel Sex on USC or ClanX17. You flame people, you play some fucking cannon defense because you just click use map settings and there's lobbies are right there, or you play fucking free-for-all with free beer and shit, and it's awesome. And, like, all of that shit, like, I'm not a nostalgia fag, I'm just saying, like,
you
the
are,
ability
though.
To be part of a community.
Well, it was
is
actually
really
a better system, though, is the thing. Like, you felt, like, more a part of, like, the
but
community.
Yeah, this is all
guys,
a pipe dream. Like,
yeah,
you're,
you actually clicked on half the use map settings lobbies, and it was either a guy yelling the N-word or F-word or some shit, or it was like nobody was there because they were AFK and you could join any game, or the game had already launched, but it was still in the actual map selection. That happened all the time, too. Like, it had its
okay, that
well.
Was a minority of the time. Can we get some people to play Bruiner? Come on. Did you play the use map settings game? You can't tell me that they were all like that. You could always, you
no.
could find use map settings
I'm
games.
I'm telling
you
that it's not all the way you're saying
you could,
it.
You could fuck around all sorts of times there. It wasn't completely fucked up. The lobby system was not a disaster.
I'm not saying it's completely fucked up. I'm trying to tell you it wasn't perfect like you seem to think it was.
It wasn't perfect, but it was
nothing,
a fuck. It was so much farther ahead of what we have now.
It's way better than the current version.
Way better. So much better.
You're the one who's actually trying to defend Blizzard here. Like, we are all saying that they fucked up and they're not going to fix it, so stop hoping for them to fix it and try and focus on the things that we can actually
if
do.
If we can't hope
you're
for Blizzard to do anything, then it's time to just
actually
switch fucking games, because the audience of this game
well,
will only continue
games.
To dwindle.
Stop being a part of this community, then. You should go play LoL. We are going to play this game and we're trying to make it as good as possible, because Blizzard's not going to do shit, so we're going to.
Well,
so,
is there a way... Okay,
shut the fuck
okay,
up.
So
actually,
instead of... Okay, first off, we don't need to, like, get into all this shit, but what are ways that, like, we as the community, like, Greg made a good point. We're diehard about the community. We support the community 100%. What are ways we can get together and maybe influence Blizzard to help make some of these changes actually happen, as opposed to just giving us the runaround? Oh, you know, multiple name changes is coming. Oh, you know, the chat channels are coming. And like Destiny said, 2 years later, here we are. And, you know, How hard can that be to put a multi-billion
dollar? I think I just realized
company.
Actually what we're going to do. This is the plan, okay? We continue to do nothing and wait, and eventually all of the Korean players are going to be switching over to LoL because Korea is huge on that shit now. And then once they switch over, people like Idra and InControl can go back to winning tournaments. I think that's the plan right now. I love you guys very much. Peace out.
Oh, wow.
I hate we had to go down that fucking road.
What happened?
You know what? That was such a fucking pussy ass bitch cop out. I can't even fucking. Yeah, that's right. I'm wearing fucking pajama pants because I had to stand up for how fucking lame that actually was.
How at least we can go back to winning as opposed to just imagine what
lame it's like. That shit was! I can't believe it!
I mean,
just
you've got to admit, though, you've got
God.
To admit, though.
Like, it's like arguing with my fucking, like, a seven-year-old.
Okay, but
it was fine, and then Steve, I can't believe that, Steve. Like, come on, you're fucking better than that. Jesus Christ.
You guys all have to admit, though, that we identify with his... No, I'm dead fucking serious. We all have to identify with his plight in some way. You're telling me you haven't been frustrated about these things, Jeff? These things haven't bothered you? Like,
you bitch about it more than anyone.
I know.
You're saying he's approaching it wrong.
Oh, I totally agree. I think his approach is not the most efficient, not the best way to do it. I'm trying to say, how can we come up with better ideas? Like,
that's the discussion he should be trying to encourage.
Thank
his
you
fan
for
base.
Finally entering yeah. the conversation, Painter. That's like, that's what we were arguing about. His
no, but no, yeah, but it was a circular. Nobody was like putting forth potential ideas.
Well, that's because he kept yelling. It's like,
putting forth potential
it was,
ideas.
It was the
like,
moment that a fucking brick wall came up in any of his arguments. It just shifted over to something else. I mean, you know, like there's like so much wrong with that discussion, and
it's going to be so awkward when the game continues to churn on. And like, yeah, the number, we're not going to have, maybe we will never have a 600 million person stream, but it's going to do great. And then like Destiny's going to silently be like, yeah, but it was going to die. Like, what the fuck, man?
Yeah, I think we should just
I didn't try to take his perspective. He was right in everything he said.
Jesus. All right.
Careful.
Dude, I can feel the neck vein coming on because it's just like, I'm going to fucking laugh at all you goddamn fucking stupid idiots that read anything off of fucking Reddit and just take it as fucking truth. I mean, fucking Jeff called him out twice for pulling out bullshit numbers that still got no retort. And I can't fucking, yes, there were some valid arguments that Steven had. But there's like no progress in anything that was said there, and I still don't even know where the fuck he's coming from or what he wants to do. Like, is it really just a call to just bitch at Blizzard, or is
the
it
worst
a,
part too is when we finally were like, you're all in on this company that you're bitching about. He then had this weird straw man backdoor argument where he's like, they've fucked up for 2 years, and we're like, yeah, so don't count on them to be your only method of salvation. And he's like, no! They have to make it more public and better chat experience for the casuals. And then it's like, but now you're once again saying this thing that didn't fucking get it done is going to have to get it done by my ideas that I have that worked in Brood War. And then you're like, well, you're kind of being a nostalgia douche about this. And he's like, no, I'm not. It was just fucking great back then.
Well,
Brood War outside of OSL?
Yeah.
There's like 200 people in the forums.
Yeah.
We had like 7 people on every stream. It was shit. And then the OSL was the only tournament outside of WCG. There was 2 tournaments. So the numbers, you didn't have a fucking choice. If you wanted to watch Brood War, you could go here or here. With StarCraft 2, I don't have enough arms. There's not enough arms in this room to watch.
Yeah. I think but you have to make a distinction between like viewers and then also like casual players. There are certain aspects of Brood War, the game itself and the UI, that are superior to the casual player, right?
Yeah.
Chat channels, the ability to interact with
it's
one
weird
another, like
to talk about
the
casual
lobbies.
Brood War, like 90% of the people, and there's that Destiny number again. I apologize. Didn't actually pay for the game; they pirated it.
Yeah.
This like community that you're talking about, the casual community, the fastest maps ever, do you think they fucking watch WCG or OSL? If you're saying yes, you're talking about this weird experience you had with your friends in your house. As a guy that's always been a part of the community on a grander whole, I'm going to go ahead and pull seniority on you. They didn't.
I never said that they did, though.
So
seniority
they're not
pulling
needed. We don't talk about them.
Yeah, how does it grow the scene or grow the tournament?
Why do we talk about
this?
They were happy.
Because by proxy, if you're looking at just the tournament scene, I'm not saying that it's going to help build that, but by proxy, if you grow the lowest base, the lowest class, that the casual gamer, by proxy, you will have more viewership and you will have larger tournaments at the high end. It's just...
No. They don't watch tournaments. They don't buy passes. Well, they don't attend events.
Look at League of Legends.
That's a different thing, though, because there it's like it's very casual, but they're still playing the same game, and there's just incentives for them to enjoy it more. Like, playing fastest map, even, and fastest is actually relatively close, is very, very different from competitive Brood Wars. Like, you don't really
You can do the same thing in StarCraft, though. Like, you can incentivize lower level casual players to play the game and enjoy it.
I don't think that
really
fits with RTS. Like,
I got to tell you, I'm disgusted by the idea that we're having a conversation about making StarCraft 2 more like LOL. And Painting's
really
intending to do this, but like,
dude,
you
it
look like a lobster human being right now. Like, you're an alien that I just identified, and I'm like,
no, whatever, dude. Fucking, it's not. It doesn't affect competitive play. That's the whole point. It doesn't affect competitive play. People are purchasing new skins, new armors, new little upgrades. It keeps the casual gamers involved in the game. They tell their friends. They all trade items. They buy items with each
other. Guys.
It creates a community.
What's a better television show? American Idol or Breaking Bad? What's the better fucking television show?
Breaking fucking Bad.
Breaking Bad. Guess what? American Idol shits on Breaking Bad when it comes to fucking viewers. American Idol, every goddamn week, man, you would not believe the fucking teenage girls that are fucking knocking down on the doors of all those pretty little singers and fucking voting in via text in the webpage 35 million fucking times. In fact, it's pretty hard to beat out the numbers of a show like American Idol. But you know what? Breaking Bad is definitely the better show. So what do we do about Breaking Bad to make it a better fucking show so that it will have as many viewers as American Idol? That is what I hear. That's all I fucking hear when this whole argument's going on. And I'm just going to leave it at that.
I don't know. I don't even think it's that. Like, I think you can implement all the stuff. Well, some
you
of the
can.
Stuff Destiny is talking about. And still even have a harder competitive game. I think the problem with Blizzard is like the middle ground where they're trying to emphasize a competitive game. Like the first thing you go to is the ladder. And then at the same time try and make the competitive game a little bit more dumbed down so people can do it. That doesn't really need to happen. The problem here is that no one's arguing that the changes Destiny wants are bad. Everyone thinks chat channels would be better. Everyone thinks more accessibility would be better. Everyone
Absolutely.
Thinks just like a funner experience would be better. The problem is we've been telling Blizzard that for a long time. Nothing's happening. Like, it's not going to happen. Blizzard either doesn't care or can't do it.
Well, it's certainly kind of not that they can't do it.
Actually, it could be. You don't know how resources are distributed there. They have a pretty small dev team on StarCraft 2. They have a lot of other things that have to happen, and they have to get approval from the people who control the money to do anything that's actually big. And in a company like Activision, I imagine that's not easy. So, like, it's
well,
not just
can't.
That.
Is I mean
you don't know how it works. Like maybe they can't, but for whatever reason it is, it's not happening. It hasn't happened in 2 years. It's pointless to hope that they're going to fix everything for us, and to make a doom and gloom post about how we are absolutely dependent on Blizzard, that just pisses off the community and causes all this negativity that we've been going through for the last few.
Well,
weeks.
So I mean, to a certain extent, though, you know,
it's totally counterproductive.
I agree with that. It's definitely totally counterproductive, but to a certain extent. I don't want to say that Blizzard owes it to us, but as
doesn't
the
matter.
I would.
Yeah, I mean, okay, fine. You know, Blizzard may
but
owe it to us.
But unfortunately,
Blizzard's bread and butter.
Blizzard's only all they just have to fucking sell copies.
Yeah, and as long as we're the ones that are promoting their game beyond just the selling of copies, running tournaments, global tournaments, broadcasts, that promotes their game on a global scale, and as long as we're continuing to do that, they should heed some of the ideas and some of the requests of the competitive community and of the avid StarCraft 2 player. And
but they don't. They're not going to.
And it doesn't make sense.
It's success.
That's your best source of valuable constructive criticism and valuable input.
The sad thing is that I don't think there's anyone in the StarCraft community that actually disagrees with that. Like, I mean, if that was the crux of Destiny's point, like, I agree with that, man. Like, we've sat here, how many fucking episodes have we talked about Battle.net? How many times have we talked about, God, if these changes were in it, if we could watch replays with friends? Like, you know, that I think that's pretty common knowledge across the board. You know, when it comes down to what's going to be done about it, or can we ever compare ourselves to X game, like, I don't even know if that's necessarily the right way of going about it. But I definitely feel like we're experiencing an era of esports that has already been experienced. I mean, Greg, I was going to ask you this early, but guys, did you ever have a Sky is Falling moment in Brood War? Like, did you ever have a community like, guys, I think Brood War's over, guys?
No. Everybody knew it was over.
Yeah. Everyone
that's true, actually. They always talk about when it's going to die.
I mean,
But here's the thing. The Sky is Falling. When he said that for me, Greg, he was talking more about like a widespread, all the threads are panic and stuff like that. You get like one thread, and then all the comments were shut the fuck up, and then we would just move on. That's what's so unsettling about this, is that people are like, oh, Steven, the business expert of StarCraft II, has actually said that the game's going to die before its third installment, because for the last 2 years they've been slow or extremely bad, which everyone agrees on, changes.
Yeah, he's just taking a very extreme position, and I wouldn't say that it's accurate to say that. Like, you can't make outrageous claims like you invented the question mark and like the game's gonna die by its third installment. I mean, we have no data to support that. Like, I certainly think people will still be playing. We're just gonna have to look at the numbers. There will be a drop off. There has been a drop off, and we're going to have to see what happens with Heart of the Swarm.
Do people really believe that? Like, here's a comment for chat: the game isn't dying. Making money from sponsors is drying up. Do people like actually believe this? Because
it's not true.
I want to go back to going back to like a television analogy. If you're the best show on television, you're going to probably have access to a certain level of sponsorship and advertising that you're not going to get if you're a lower level. But guess what? There's like so many scales of sponsorship and advertising out there.
Yeah.
Like the little guy Subway wants to advertise. Great. They do it on, primetime television. But, Jimmy McSandwich Shop wants to advertise and they do it on cable television. Like there's always going to be an outlet for that sort of thing. Because the economics of the way that anything like that and how it scales needs to have a hierarchy of shit that's fucking huge, all the way down to like the play him dailies that happen every day that are like smaller occurrences but still stuff within the community. So
yeah,
that's another aspect that I still don't quite grasp.
I even want to do like, I can't help it with my debate background, to take this like, in my opinion, one of the most compelling form of arguments you can make is like, let's assume what you're saying is on some level really true. I'm not just going to outright deny it. So Steven says that the game is losing, like his hypothesis when he looks at the dipping stream numbers, which of course, DJ Wheat, by the way, for people that don't know this, actually works with the streaming company. He has the power to look at a website that literally shows the numbers. So he actually, when he says it's growing, he's not just saying that like Steven is about everything he was saying. He's actually talking about factual things that he knows. But let's go ahead and say the numbers are dipping. In StarCraft II, if this is news to people, I'm going to blow some minds. It is always going to peak when a shiny thing comes out with StarCraft II or real-time strategy. People are going to be like, cool, new units, new tournaments, Blizzard's throwing a bash for it. I want to talk. I like the single player. I want to find out what happens to Kerrigan's gigantic rest in the second game like that. So they go to it. And then it's like a really fucking hard game that if you're not playing like 2, 3, or 10 hours a day, you're going to get worse and worse and worse. So people stop playing it. They don't buy it later. No one's looking at the shelf and saying, I could play StarCraft 2, which is mind-numbingly hard, or I could pick up the next SimCity and really have like people enter rooms where there's no doors or windows and watch them die, because that's the kind of person I am. You could do one of those two things. You'll probably do SimCity, which outsells StarCraft 2. Or we could look at this as a game that's become more of a spectator event. If you go to an MLG, you'll talk to hundreds of people that are like, I just watch it. I don't have time to play it, but I fucking love this game. I love the shows. The NASL is like their ESPN. Like it's an actual community thing. StarCraft II was never going to be the game that had 1 million people concurrently on a stream. It doesn't have the ability to appeal to that many people. But if we consistently get 100,000, we peak at 150, we peak at 200, maybe our big event has 250. That's enough to keep us with sponsorships and with people invested that the game can go on like Brood War did for 14, 15 years. And if that's unrealistic, if that upsets people, if they think StarCraft II needed to be the game that actually just sits at the top for 20 years, like no game ever has in competitive world play, then I'm sorry, you were always going to be disappointed.
Yeah, I think your fan might be, or someone's fan might be hitting their mic just a little bit. But yeah, I mean, and for people to say that, at this point in time, there's more corporate interest in StarCraft than I think there ever has at any point. And a lot of tech companies are getting involved in this thing. And, I mean, it couldn't be any better for them. Just sponsoring, you know, gaming events as a whole, but especially StarCraft, because it's so competitive. It demands the best. If you're a hardware producer, any sort of software producer even, any company that has anything to market to males aged 14 to 35, they pretty much have that demographic right there locked in. And now that StarCraft has proven that it can put on these, amazing events that, garner 50, 60,000 viewers, they're really getting interested now. And they're going to start putting more and more money into it, and it's going to get bigger and bigger. I seriously don't see sponsors looking at StarCraft right now and being like, the numbers are just dwindling so fast right now. I just don't think we're going to get involved at this point. You see new partnerships every week. You see new sponsors getting involved. And I just don't think it's on such a steady decline that we need to be like up in arms about it, end of the world prophecy type situation. I think we just need to wait and see the numbers from Heart of the Swarm and really take a look at it after that. After the boom from Heart of the Swarm and then the fall shortly thereafter, we need to keep our eyes on the numbers and kind of come back to where we were here, and then we can actually have some data to go off.
We've got to we really, really have to wrap, guys. I mean, it always sucks when we're amidst a conversation and then we have to wrap. But
call Goat Lust.
We've got to. We're not even going to get Lust. An opportunity for Goat Lust at this point. We literally took it all the way. In fact, we're several minutes late off getting off. So we're going to have to wrap this. But we'll be around for the retail of Heart of the Swarm. So yep, we'll probably look back here on good old episode 57 and go either like, fuck, we were all wrong and we're all idiots, or yeah, well, guys, things weren't nearly as bad as maybe some people were making it sound like. Let's do a wrap. Any final thoughts, Pain User? We'll start with you.
Thanks everybody for watching. Please follow me on Twitter. I'm at Pain User. Please follow my YouTube. It's youtube.com/StratBunker. And great show tonight, guys. Heated debate. Very interesting. Enjoyed a lot of it. And sorry, Don. I know this was your first esports show that you ever watched. Usually it's not this crazy. But yeah.
It just gets worse from here. That was
I don't know. Yeah.
Anyway, thanks a lot. Peace, guys.
Idra.
Follow me on Twitter at Idrajit, IDRAJIT. Streams twitch.tv/EG_Idra. Thank you to EG and all our sponsors, title sponsor Raid Call, as well as Intel's Monster Steel Series, King CyberX, Beyond Gaming, and Sapphire. And thank you all for watching.
In control.
Same sentiments, obviously. Big shout out to sponsors. Without them, it wouldn't be possible. I'm going to be casting Master's Cup alongside Azale as soon as I can drive over there, which is roughly 15 minutes. And just as like a final word to the debate, I want to just put it out there that everyone, I think, in a weird, convoluted way, agrees that Blizzard could do more and that they have taken too long to do some things. And Greg and I, like, it's weird that I have to establish this point, but some people like kept repeating that Greg and I are in particular defending Blizzard or something like that. There's really no defense there. It's out there. It sucks. But the biggest message that I want to, and if I could speak on behalf of Greg, and I think perhaps the rest of us that we're putting out there, though, is we actually have the power to continue to feed this thing and make love to ourselves within StarCraft II and grow this. And it doesn't have to be, if Blizzard doesn't make, like, change their UI experience, that this game's going to die. It's actually a game that a lot of people feel very passionate about, and they're very happy for other communities doing well, like myself. I'm glad that LoL and Dota 2 are doing fantastic. It would suck if there was only one game that was legitimate, because that means shitty things for the future. So just keep doing what you're doing, because things are on the up and up. The numbers have been more spread out, but that's natural, because for God's sakes, there's other games to choose from for the first time in a long time. and that's a good thing, I'm sorry to say. I want to give a special shout-out to Residox, who's been putting up the MP3s for this show.
For sure.
It's just without him, this show wouldn't be nearly as put out there as it has been, and he deserves all the shout-outs in the world. He's a moderator for us, but he also works as a complete volunteer to make sure that our words go out there and live on, and big shout-out to him. So thank you very much, Residox.
All I have to say is that, guys, you know, you've heard this before. Maybe your mom or your dad have sat you down and they've said, hey, Billy, it's time we tell you something really important. Because I really think that this is harmful to our community. I don't care what community you're in. But look, just because something's written on the internet, just because someone says this or someone says that, like, empower yourself to find out if that is indeed true. Like, I can't believe the amount of shit that I see quoted by FXO Boss, you know, in this channel, by things that Destiny said. Guys, challenge that shit. You can't just assume that everything that is written and everything that's put out there and any statement is true.
Skeptical mind.
Please, for the love of God, like, fucking empower yourself to do some research, to ask someone else, to challenge them with a question. But for the love of God, with that being said, thank you for the discussion, everyone, tonight. Even Steven, for coming on. I mean, I'm still glad that we're able to have this type of discussion. Regardless, I don't look at it as like he won or they won. I look at it more as like, you know, again, like, what's the community going to do about it? And I guess that's just something that we all have to ask ourselves. But anyway, got Masters Cup coming up next. I believe it's Acer versus Fnatic, maybe? Acer versus Fnatic, yes.
We love you, Goat Lust.
Yes, sorry, Goat Lust. You'll get 2 phone calls next week. We'll hang up on you, and then we'll actually let you call a second time. Acer versus Fnatic, Nurtio taking on Moon, Scarlet playing as well. That's coming up next on OneMoreGame.tv. Thanks for joining us on Inside the Game, and we'll see you next time on another episode. Tomorrow's Live on 3. We're out of here. Peace.